It's time for the Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio, discussing everything about food and spirits in Fairbanks. Fairbanks Foodies, brought to you by Gavora's Fine Wine and Spirits, Bobby's Downtown, Hoodoo Brewery, and Quality Food Sales. Now your host, David Proves.
Good evening, Fairbanks, and thank you for listening to Fairbanks Foodies. This is our locally produced, locally broadcasted food show here in Fairbanks, where we look at everything, restaurants to try, menus you can make, meals you can create, events to talk about, restaurants to go and appreciate. Today, this evening, is my fourth week of being an Italian, Italian Food Month. And this was my makeup date that I had to have from last Saturday night's faux pas. Remember, no matter how good you are, you can always do something wrong. And remember, be bold, go for it. Pizza is only 30 minutes out. Today, I have back with me the wonderful Chuck Klumke and Gary Black. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Hey, after this, how could it be any better than that?
I'm going to need a nap after this is what's going to happen.
Fairbanks, we usually have our opening, and then I pull out the food that they have not seen, and we try it. But tonight, we did it a little bit differently. Before we got on the air and recorded this, we had the food. Just wanted to make sure it was okay. And what I did tonight was basically an Italian medley. And the way I created it was just sort of happenstance, how I went along. I was looking, as I was telling Chuck and Gary earlier, I was looking to have a nice pork tenderloin dish. And all of a sudden at Safeway, I find a skinless chicken thigh. All ready to go, and 2-for-1 special.
There you go.
So, of course, I had to buy it. So this morning, I'm thinking, okay, what I'm going to have with it, I'm going to saute up some mushrooms, with some good, flavorful Italian medley, some herbs. I might maybe have something else, have a nice Capri salad. And I bring it all home, and I open up the chicken thighs, and they're deboned. So I'm sitting there thinking, I go, hold it. I should stuff these, tie them, and cook them. So I go into my refrigerator, and I have half a yellow onion there, and I dice it up, and I'm sautéing it up, and I go, hold it. I've got some mushroom. I'll also stuff it with a little bit of mushroom. So I diced up the mushroom and put that in there and got it all done. Start putting my stuffing in my open chicken thighs, and I go, hold it. I've got these Italian medley herbs. I will put a little bit in each one. Do that, wrap it, tie it to baking twines each, put it in, I go, okay, hold it. I've got some extra Pinot Grigio in the refrigerator, so I'm going to put moisture in there, and I do that, and I go, hold it. I'm going to take the leftover mushrooms I have, dice them up, and put them on top, and I did. I said, hold it. I have all these leftover Italian herb medleys, or just some good Mediterranean medley herbs. So I start pulling those out, oregano, thyme, basil, a little bit of everything, and I put that on top. And I go, hold it. I've got some red potatoes that I've had for a few days. So I slice those up, and I put those around the baking dish on the side, put some salt and pepper on top, cover with aluminum foil, bake it for 45 minutes at 400 degrees, and brought it over here and opened it up in front of you. And, gentlemen, here you go. And serving it with a little bit, again, of Pinot Grigio. Yeah. Gary, what do you think?
It's great. It's what I call, it's very rustic. So 13-by-9 baking dish. Your potatoes are layered in it with the chicken over it, and then mushrooms, and then the herbs on top. Of course, chicken thighs. Big fan of chicken thighs as opposed to chicken breast, just because juicy, flavorful, dark meat, be it turkey, duck.
It's the dark meat of the white meat.
Dark meat, yeah. So, and what I love about it is that there was no recipe. This was just, okay, I want to do this. Oh, look, I have this. Oh, look, let's add that to it. So anybody who has, if you are kitchen knowledgeable and cooking knowledgeable, this is something that everybody does every day. Take what you have at home and create something. So well done, David Bruce.
Absolutely right. As I identify in any of my classes, you cook in three different ways. You cook by intent, and that's where, whether it's Martha Stewart or Julia Childs or whomever, you're going to make a specific dish. And I tell people, if you're making a steak Diane, you know, make it a steak Diane that people are looking for. You've got the cream, you've got the brandy, you've got other things going in there, and make it that way. If you modify it, whatever, that's great, but identify it, make it your own. It's the David Prue's steak David,
yeah,
you know, type of thing.
Italian chicken a la David is
that's
what this
right.
was.
Yeah. And so the second way is by content. And content is just like you did with this. You started with an idea, and you had the pork tenderloin. Great. And it's like, well, it turned out to be chicken. Okay, that's great, too. So we take this and take some of the other things that we have. We look around. We forage for whatever we can. We add to it. And once again, you know enough. If you take good things and you work with them and you don't abuse them, it should come out good on the other side.
Exactly.
And then the third way is by oops. And that's where you're cooking, you're busy, you've got somebody on the phone, whatever. And, oh, I forgot to put this in. Or I thought I had XYZ, but I didn't. And so now you come up with a dish that it's still good intentions in that, but it's not by necessarily any type of a plan. And the challenge there comes from, how do I make this again? Because it turned out so good. Because you were using your basic instincts of good ingredients. You know, red potatoes, much more flavor than if you're using russets or what have you. And you know,
I really like the red potatoes. I really
do. Oh, I
do
too. They just come with a lot of flavor that is not there. And the skins are part of that. And that's where, you know, typically our Yukon Gold potatoes are recognized around the world because of their starch content and stuff, making wonderful mashed potatoes. And that's great. But if you make rustic mashed potatoes and you boil your red potatoes and leave the skins in there, you'll find all kinds of flavor that you never thought was going to go in. You know, and I'll add some, you know, white truffle oil and some garlic and a little bit of butter maybe.
A little bit, like a pound?
I had a little bit. I had no minced garlic in this, and I had no butter in this dish, which is weird for me.
Go figure.
I mean, that is weird for me.
So how long, David, did it take you start to finish on this?
My prep time was 12 to 15 minutes. Cook time was 15 minutes, so total was an hour and 5 minutes. 5 minutes transportation over to here, 5 minutes serving. Total time from start to serving was an hour and 15 minutes. Right.
But if you were home, what, 30 to 40 minutes from start to finish, putting it together in the oven, taking it out?
An hour.
Hour?
Yeah, right. An hour. Yeah. So it's a one-pot dish. You know, so how many pieces of your cookware in a meal are you going to get messy? The single meal bachelor says, just one.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking also, and I mentioned it earlier, what I love about this is one pot dish, pretty easy to put together. So when you're picking little Tommy up from band practice and little Susie up from soccer practice and you've got to get home and throw something together, super easy. Yeah. One pot dishes like this are quick, flavorful, easy for the parent on the go. And so many of us are on the go all the time now.
And what it also does is your servings can be as large or small as you want. You know, I put in 6 chicken thighs because I knew that's how, you know, I had more than that from the 2 packages I had.
Right.
But I looked at the size of my pot, my dish. What's the size of that, Gary? 9 by 13 by 9. Yep. And just crammed it full. I had more room. I was looking, oh, I got potatoes. I got more room. Yeah, okay. So I ringed the exterior, the inside, rather, with potatoes. You know, just put them in there, and that way some uniformity to it. A lot of fun. And I had Fairbanks, Chuck, Gary, I had no idea how this would turn out. Something you just go out and try. You be bold. And as you all know, my theory is be bold because pizza's only 30 minutes out. And last Thursday was a pizza day, but luckily you didn't make me buy pizza.
And today is not a pizza day.
Today is not a pizza day, no. Yeah.
You know, I got a feeling, you know, from what you guys were saying earlier, which is all fine and dandy, but you're sort of getting spoiled on these lunches.
We don't want to send that message. I know Gary and I both really appreciate the opportunity to be witness to somebody being a professional about what they do, somebody caring about what they do. And so if it's our part to play in this, hey, so be it. So
you're all wonderful friends, and at the same time, you both know what you're doing in food. So I am cooking for very good, tasteful critics who know what they're doing and can describe what this well. And so it makes me want to bring it.
Well, good. That's the relationship we want to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this wins. This is a winner, David. So
yeah.
Well, the nice thing about this too is, like when we did some of the other things, pizza will fill the house with the odors because you eat in three ways. You first eat with your nose, then finally your eyes, and then your palate. And when you do that, all of your senses are involved with this. And if you don't realize that, or you don't accept that, or you don't utilize that, you're having your audience miss out on a component of this. Because if you think back to like when we were kids, and not, sorry, Gary, not all of us were kids at the same time. but if you came home from school and mom had made up some chocolate chip cookies or something, you came in the house, or you didn't even have to get into the house, it's like, okay, I know what that is. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to salivate, and my hand is taking the shape of a glass of cold milk.
Yeah.
And then you sit down with those cookies. Then if they're warm besides, and it's like, this is, that whole experience is there. And that's what this La Familia approach to it, the family approach to it, is it gets everybody on that same page. So you're not worried about, you know, what's happening at the border or anything else. No, you're into the meal because it's there. It's with the seasonings and stuff. And with this, you've got so many different things going on. It's just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a break to hear from our wonderful sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to discuss variations we can do with this stuffing meal. And I'm already, again, never do anything the same when you can practice something else. We'll be back after these messages.
It's great to be able to enjoy our favorite local restaurants once again. And you can thank the folks at Quality Sales Food Service. Even during the toughest of times, they were making sure local eateries had the food and supplies needed to keep their businesses open. Quality Sales Food Service, Interior Alaska's number one food supplier, teaming up with Gold Bond Marketing, have allowed them to buy in volume and keep prices low, which helps keep your dinner costs low as well. That's Quality Sales Food Service, the food suppliers for your favorite restaurants. Online at qualitysales.net.
Make your next dinner or gathering with friends and family be the one they'll remember with help from Gavoris Fine Wine. Gavoris selection of wines is one of the largest in the interior. You'll find the perfect pairing to complement any meal or to enjoy for any occasion. Gavoris has an outstanding selection of spirits and beers as well, including fresh Alaskan beers to fill your growlers. You'll find the home beer brewing supplies you need. Gavoris Fine Wine. Open noon to 8 every day in the Gavora Mall.
Things are coming back around, and it's time to celebrate. So do it with friends at Bobby's Downtown, with an amazing selection of Greek and Mediterranean cuisine, along with loads of your American favorites, plus one of the finest bars in all of Fairbanks. Bobby's Downtown, where everyone is family. Don't forget their amazing lunches during the work week, and check out their fantastic daily specials and amazing drinks. It's all at Bobby's Downtown, one of the best things about downtown Fairbanks. On 2nd Avenue, that's Bobby's Downtown. Hoodoo Brewery. Sure, you grab a cold one after work with your friends and coworkers in the amazing beer garden. Or maybe fill up the growler on the way home. Hoodoo Brewery. Some of the finest beer in all of Alaska, right here in Fairbanks, right in the heart of downtown. Now you can order your beer online at hoodoobrew.com or sign up for a tour of the brewery. Score some cool Hoodoo swag and support your local beer meisters. That's Hoodoo Brewery, a strong supporter of Fairbanks and local events, large and small. Hoodoo is always there with a cold one just for you. Hoodoo Brewery.
And now, back to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's here with you on this Saturday evening with Gary Black and Chuck Klumke. We're enjoying a good Italian dish that I made from scratch that just, it all came to me as I was doing it. A lot of fun doing it that way. But gentlemen, there's so many variations you can do with this. And my first thought was, you're stuffing it, put in some provolone cheese too in the interior before you wrap it up and tie it.
Or spinach,
yeah. Would, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also, my thought was, okay, how many times have you taken a chicken breast and you softened it, then you breaded it with breadcrumbs? Mm-hmm. Here, you don't need to soften it, but if you did the breadcrumbs and you take out the wine, you wouldn't put the wine in there for the moisture. Mm-hmm. The breadcrumbs, and that would be keeping that in there, and if you put that cheese in there. So there's many variations on how you can do this. Mm-hmm. And the way I am, this is great, but I'm not going to probably do this again. I'm going to do something else, you know, a variation of it.
Check that off.
Yeah, this is bam. It's what we do.
Done. Parsnips. I love parsnips.
Oh, great idea.
So when it comes to roasting chicken or a bird of any kind, you know, I would totally throw in some parsnips.
That's a great idea. Other things you can put in the roasting portion that you're not putting in the chicken.
Oh, yeah. Any of your root vegetables would go great in this.
Yeah.
Well, it's, I find a thing that as a kid, and it was probably just the way that it was prepared, is I steered clear of Brussels sprouts. And now you give me some Brussels sprouts, and it's going to be like candy by the time we're finished.
I'm the same way.
Yes.
You know, you grew up and you, oh, that looks so ugly. Oh, my God, you're going to make me eat that green thing? And now it's like, oh, yeah. And then over at the library, the way they serve the Brussels. Sure. Oh, my goodness. Right. That's a lot of fun.
It really is. You know, now that becomes a regular part. And now after taking Brussels sprouts to that level of taste and sophistication, now other things that I enjoyed in that, but now I think, okay, I was able to do this by adding this, doing that to the Brussels sprouts and making them wonderful. Now you do the same thing with beans, with asparagus, whatever, and it's like, oh, wait a second, now you've treated those things in a, you know, just steamed vegetables. It's like, let me make mine. Yeah. I'll make mine a little different.
When I was in there today, I immediately went to the asparagus because I was looking for a vegetable. But they didn't have the I like the spears. I like the big ones. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have those. So I went away from the, and I went to these great, big, beautiful white mushrooms. There they were. I said, okay, I'm going to use something with this. I had no idea what I was doing today until I put it in the oven. Then I knew, whatever it is, it's done. That's all I could fit in this 13x9 pan. That was it.
Well, see, Gary, we were here when it happened.
Yeah, we were. And I want to go back just a second, Chuck. Not to demean steamed vegetables.
Well, no.
But they're a steamed, light, you know, steamed until crisp tender with a little butter over it and sea salt. Wonderful, you know, so.
Or a little hollandaise or a little whatever.
You know, if you grew up in Fairbanks, your vegetables were always from a can.
Yeah.
So steamed is wonderful. I mean, oh, yeah. Oh, my God, sauteed now? Oh, my goodness. With some white wine and some other ingredients? Oh.
Well, what I like to do, too, is I'll take asparagus and either on the grill, because you just have to put them perpendicular to the grates. Or you'll lose asparagus.
Yeah. Don't ask me how I know that.
Yes. Yeah, we've all learned that.
That's right. And then what I'll do is, so I will oil them. I might season them. And what works very well on them, too, is take some, you know, accent, take some Lowry's seasoning salt, take some steak seasoning, oil them, steak seasoning on them, grill them a little bit. Then what I'll do is I'll bundle them in, like, groups of four or six, depending upon the size that it is and how many people I'm serving, and I'll put some shredded Parmesan on.
Mm-hmm.
And then that melt over it, and then that goes on a plate. It makes a wonderful presentation. Plus, it's just absolutely delicious. That Parmesan is salty enough, And it's just, not anything wrong with your steam vegetables, but you try some of those asparagus with Parmesan on it.
You know what I like about Parmesan? There's so many variations.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in my refrigerator, I have three already, but I think of other ones, too. Oh, my God.
Well, what I'll do, too, a simple little thing is the tomatoes that we get here, even the ones that are still on the vine, making you think they were vine-ripened, they can't possibly do that. They're not going to get sweet and refined. They're going to be consistent. They're going to be here. The Fred's or Safeway is going to have, five, six, seven, 8 days of use out of those, or otherwise you're not going to get any of those. But the plum tomatoes, I'll take those, and as I'm doing everything else, and I still have a pan on with a little bit of heat, I'll slice those up into maybe quarter inch, half inch slices, little olive oil or truffle oil, let those soften up just a little bit, and then throw some Parmesan on top of those. Flip them over, put the Parmesan on, put a lid over it so they melt up, and then take a little balsamic reduction and put it over the top. And that just goes on the plate, and it's just like a wonderful, wonderful treat that's right there. So,
you know, also, Fairbanks, what I also served to Gary and Chuck was a good little Calabrese salad. And I had at my house in the refrigerator, I had the mozzarella cheese ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a single Roma tomato. Just one, thin sliced the mozzarella cheese is what I had, laid it on the presentation dish, took some wonderful, beautiful olive oil and some incredible, nice vinegar from California that's becoming a very wonderful place, put that on top. Put ground salt, ground pepper, a little bit of tarragon sprinkled over, a little bit of oregano, and that was it. And so, again, what do I have in my refrigerator? And I knew I was going to do that, so I said, well, okay, I got all that. I just need one Roma tomato.
Right. Serve a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if I would have had like six people, I would have gotten two Roma tomatoes.
Well, my hat has to go off to Gambardella's. When the old man was there.
The master.
Old man Gambardella.
Old man Gambardella.
He only opened up three restaurants. Just three. Yes. He had three daughters. Well, he had four daughters, but he opened three restaurants.
But he, I've been there because I've talked him into doing a mozzarella class.
Yeah. Oh.
And that's just a treat in and of itself. But being around him, because he, like you, being of Italian descent, and it was in his blood, and they used to make a bruschetta that was, you take your salad here, your mozzarella, your slices of Roma tomato, and that, and would make a bruschetta out of that, and so it heated a little bit, and so now it totally changed the nature of it, so you and once again a way to comfortably eat it. Like a sandwich, it was just absolutely. It was one of the nicest things that they ever did there, and was always, you tell Lisa, don't ever lose this. Keep this on there.
You know, it's interesting being of Italian descent. About a month ago, a gentleman who's very, very close, dear friend of mine, he's starting this. Him and three friends are starting this new business. So, he was telling me about it. He goes, don't say anything because the attorney's making us all sign non-disclosure agreements, NDAs. And I looked at him and go, I'm Italian. An NDA is in my DNA. Amato, silence, just don't worry. they'll come out with their business here in a little bit, and everyone will say, oh, that's fun. It does not involve food, so it's neither here nor there anymore.
Well, that's saying, and I'm German and one-quarter Swede. And so my mother, one of the best things she ever made, probably number one for me, was lemon meringue pie.
Oh.
And so that was great. And then she would make apple slices. And so she'd take a big sheet pan and she'd make these apple slices, crust top and bottom, and then a sugar glaze on top of it, and just fantastic. And she'd never give me the recipe. And then my sister, it was turned over to her, so she was in charge of the recipe for the apple slices, and she wouldn't give it to me. And then she wound up giving that to my daughter, so now she has a recipe and won't give it to me. And the thing of it, the thing they don't realize is I didn't want the recipe.
I just wanted to make it. Yeah,
you just make the apple slices for me.
You know, it's interesting. I came to a point in my life where every Wednesday and Sunday, I grew up with pasta. My mom made the pasta sauce. Once a month, she'd make enough for about 8 meals for us, our family. And it was a wonderful red pasta sauce. It's wonderful. You go on in life and you're saying to yourself, you know, my old sister could make it. My sister-in-law could make it. But I don't get that. They're not giving it to me.
Right.
So I called up my mom and said, you know, I need the recipe. So she faxed me the recipe. And so I cooked it all up, you know, her very detailed 3-page instructions. And I had some friends over and to have it, you know, rigatoni, nice rigatoni noodle. And that night we're all having it, and it was it. I mean, it was what I grew up with. So we all got on a speakerphone. Mrs. Pruse, thank you so much. We're all in Fairbanks, Alaska. We've got the stuff.
You got your fix.
Yeah, and to this day, I take that recipe, and at Christmas, I make up Christmas baskets for people who have made me successful in business or friends of mine who I've grew up with who demand it. And I make a Christmas basket, and it is the sauce, a pound of rigatoni, a DeSico size 24 noodle, a nice bottle of Italian wine, some North Pole coffee, some candy, and some cookies. And that's my Christmas basket. Yeah. You know, you get to an age where...
Have you gotten your Christmas
Yeah.
I think we're...
Now hold it. Now if you keep on this show, you're going to make me successful. But I'm of that age where I like consumables at Christmas, and I like to give consumables at Christmas.
Well, it is because it's giving a part of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's more valuable to you than your time, your love, and your attention?
Yeah.
You know, if you've got that, everything else comes and goes. It will have a shelf life to it or whatever, but this is something that, because then the memory, the flavors, the smells, the experience is there.
About 10 days ago, I walk up to my house, and there's this year's Christmas basket from this friend of mine, Norman, who I've known since I was 7. And he's got 3 of the CARES jars. And he goes, you know, from 3 years back, you know, in a row. And he always gets the first one. And he goes, I'm out of sauce.
Hilarious.
All righty then. That's, you know, and only he could say that. You know, we had that Vulcan mind meld. He'd even know when I was cooking the sauce, all of a sudden I'd get a text from him or a phone call. When are you making the sauce? I'm like, oh my God! You know, how do you know this? But that's life. Well, gentlemen, we got about a minute left. Chuck, any final comments on food in
once
general?
Again, I think what you're doing here, what you're providing to the community, and that is, you know, so valuable, so important, because it's more than just the food. It's the thought. It's the feeling. It's the La Familia part of it that goes along with it. And so with Gary, I think I speak for Gary, too. We're happy to do our part.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm more than happy to come here and eat whatever you cook, sir.
So
can I place my order for next week?
So our lunch with Dave, you know, that's the name of the program now.
Ah, okay.
Or Dining with Dave.
Dining with Dave. Dinner with Dave. Yeah.
I like how you think. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much. Glad to make up for last week's fiasco, and... I promise nothing in the future except for good pizza or good food.
Okay.
Right. We'll take it.
And Fairbanks, you have a great Saturday night, and this show also plays on Sunday, and I'll see you next week.
You have been listening to Fairbanks Foodies on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM, also streaming live at KFARradio.com. To hear this or past episodes, go to the archives page on the website. Fairbanks Foodies has been brought to you by Gavora's Fine Wine and Spirits, Bobby's Downtown, Hoodoo Brewery, and Quality Food Sales.